Good morning and welcome to the Adult Sunday School. Pastor is not here. He's had a procedure in Rhode Island on his eyes, and he's very uncomfortable. He wants to be here, though. You know him. He wants to be here. So you can remember him in prayer also. Remember all of us that the Lord is still here. His word is still here, and this is his local assembly. We're in good hands. We're in good hands. So open up in word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank you again that you have called us out again to sit at your feet, to worship you, to let you deal with us individually and collectively. God, we thank you. Thou art an amazing God. We owe you. We really do. And Lord, we're not there yet. We're still here. And you want to do that work until we get there. So Lord, our hearts are open for you to do what you want to do. We think of the other classes and we ask that you even deal with them and deal with those others who are not able to come but want to be here. Deal with those who are here who do not want to be here. So Lord, put it all together for your honor and your glory alone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I have a question for you. I have several questions. You won't be able to answer them now. Maybe you may be able to answer them now, one of them. Does God want you or me to be a bumper sticker Christian? Oh, what is that? I'm going to explain that. Does God want you or me to be a DNB believer? I will explain what that is. Does God want us to be a Bible-believing believer? I don't think I have to explain that, but I will. And when I'm finished, you choose which one you are and decide what needs to be done in your life to allow God to work in your life also. A bumper sticker. Most of us know what a bumper sticker is. It's a piece of adhesive or plastic that you attach on your bumper of a vehicle. The owner of the vehicle, the driver of the vehicle has that on it. And it bears a message. It bears a message, maybe saying what your favorite team is, or you love dogs, you love cats, or where you've been, or where you're going. Maybe your political persuasion, different things. You put that sticker on and you're identifying with that. That's what a bumper sticker does. It's for show. You're showing this is what you believe. This is what you like. Bumper sticker Christian, quote Christian, does that. Bumper sticker identifies the interests of the driver or the owner of the car. Now, the driver of the car may be renting the car, but that doesn't necessarily mean that they agree with that bumper sticker. But whoever put that bumper sticker on usually is the person who believes in that thing that it says. The Bible, the bumper sticker shows support or promotes whatever that bumper sticker says. The bumper sticker doesn't change. The bumper sticker may fade. After a time, the bumper sticker gets old, weather hits it, storms, sun, sand, salt, and it fades away. It fades away. Think of the bumper sticker Christian fading away. Turn to Ephesians 1. The bumper sticker Christian, and when I say Christian, that's a quote Christian, puts on a show that they are a Christian. Ephesians 1, verses 12 through 14. That we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. After you believed, after we have believed, we are sealed with his Holy Spirit of promise. We're sealed. God put that seal on us, not we. The believing believer, we didn't do that. We can't. The bumper sticker Christian puts that seal on themselves. Verse 14, the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. We're sealed with the Holy Spirit. That's a down payment of what we are going to receive fully when we're in his presence, when we're with the Lord. Right now, we're not with him. He's still working on us, but we have such much more, so much more that God has to show us and to teach us and to learn to love him even more. There's more to come, more. Don't think that this is it. It's not. God has a wonderful plan for us, and it's a good plan. It's his plan, not ours. The only seal that counts is what God puts on us, seals us, not what you, not what another person puts on themselves, the bumper sticker that fades. If a police car drives up, and you see a police car drive up, and you see an individual or individuals get out of the police car and they have a police uniform on, you can assume that they are a policeman. Unless the person getting out of the police car has handcuffs on, not a policeman. Fire truck drives up, and you see firemen, firewomen drive up with the truck. You assume they have the uniform on, that they're going to put out the fire. You expect that. The bumper sticker Christian walks around saying that they're a Christian. Verbally, they're doing it. Physically, they may walk around, but you don't see the fruit. You don't see the fruit. There's no connection. Bumper sticker, that's all it is. You see an ambulance drive up, EMTs get out. You expect them to do the work. You don't expect them to get out of the vehicle and stand on the sidewalk and watch with everybody else what's going on. No, they do what they're supposed to do. You expect them to do what they're supposed to do. You can't go through a hospital with a stethoscope around your neck. Average person just walk in and say that you're a doctor or a nurse and walk the halls. You can't do that. You can't do that. You have no authority. You have no credentials. You have no training. You are a bumper sticker. You're fake. You're dangerous. You're dangerous to a patient. You're dangerous. A bumper sticker Christian is dangerous also, because people who don't know the Lord will assume that this is the way Christians are supposed to live or to act. They're dangerous. Because you carry a Bible, you come to church, you sing hymns, your attendance is okay. Doesn't make you a believer either. Because you carry a Bible, it's good. But does your Bible carry you? There's a big difference. A big difference. You're not a bumper sticker Christian if the Bible is carrying you. You can't identify with that. Your behavior, my behavior, is going to dictate, to show just who we are. Be careful. Be careful. The inside shows on the outside. Basically, when we are working, walking in the world, doing what we're doing, going where we're going, it's like show and tell. We're showing the world who we are, the things that we look at, the things that we do, the things that we think, even in our most private situations, we show it. We show it. I was working with the football team years ago, and the high school football team, and we had a couple of players on the team that wore a uniform, and the head coach told me they walk around in school in the cafeteria with their uniforms on proudly. When game time comes, they're no show. They don't know the plays. They don't come to practice. How can you or me grow in the Lord if we're not here? If we're not here to learn, to let the Lord work in our hearts, just like the football player. He doesn't know the plays. Send him into the game, doesn't know what happens. Doesn't know what to do. It's an embarrassment. Eventually, he was let go. I remember years ago, didn't live in Middletown at the time. We had a car that I had to take to a dealership for work that was not close by. And I took it there, and I sat in the waiting room, which was connected to the bay area where the vehicles were brought in. One individual that day drove his car in, and I happened to notice it says, "Jesus is Lord" on it. So I said, "Wow, maybe another believer." He gets out of his car. He walks over to the service manager. He's angry, and the language he used was very inappropriate. Very inappropriate. He caused a scene. He got in his car, and he left. After things had calmed down, I walked over to the service manager and shared a little bit with him and gave him a tract, and he was very appreciative of it. I didn't want him to think that because this individual had that bumper sticker on, that that was the way a believer acts. I don't know if this person owned that car or he was borrowing it, but it did not look good because that was a label there. And we have a label on us. Some of us recently got baptized. Some of us have been baptized before, and as one individual said, put the label on the can, okay? You're identifying. You have identified with the Lord Jesus Christ. People are expecting certain things from you. I remember being at work. I had staff members that ridiculed me at first, but then after a while they backed off. But they did it in respect. They would call me church boy, and I knew that they in a kind way were you know, not knocking me, but they respected me. And we had staff meetings, and one administrator got up one day and used inappropriate language. And she turned around immediately and looked at me and said, I apologize. You know, I didn't say anything. It's your testimony. They know who's sincere and who's not. And they'll tell you if you aren't. The unsaved will tell you. Be a witness, not a bumper sticker. Turn to Matthew 7. Matthew 7, verses 21 through 23. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then the Lord says, I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. That is awful. That is awful. That is awesome that you or I would, well, I can't do it because I'm saved. If you're not saved and you were saying that you were, and you went through the motions, bumper sticker Christian, going to church, carrying your Bible, singing hymns, going through the motions, verbally, physically, but no, nothing, God was not in you. God's not in you. And then you come to the Lord and you say, Lord, I did all these things. And the Lord says, I never knew you. Depart from me. That is awesome. I mean, it seemed to me that that person would come to know the Lord, be convicted so quickly and want to do business, but there are people who don't. Awesome. The DNB believer. You've heard of DNR, do not resuscitate. That is a medical term for people who have a medical emergency, cardiac arrest or respiratory arrest, or unconscious. They are seeking help, medical assistance. But the DNR people say they decline it. They don't want it. They don't want it. And I have, and some of you may have that also, a DNR, in case it comes to a situation where I'm unconscious, not breathing, cardiac arrest. There's no chance of me surviving unless I'm on a artificial machine to get me to live the rest of my life that way. No, that's the quality of life, no. But that's a personal decision. So if you see me laying out on the street there and I get hit, no. There's no chance. Pull me off to the side. Don't let me be a road bump, okay? Be kind enough for that. But the DNB, do not bother. That's what that believer is. Do not bother. Don't bother me. That's what that believer is saying. Don't bother me. You know, they were saved. They were saved. Started to walk and grow with the Lord. And then they said, that's enough. That's enough. It's too much. It's too hard. You know what? I'll do some of the things you want me to do, Lord. Some of the things, but I like doing some of the old things I used to do. So I'm going to go just do a little bit, and then I'm going to go back to what I really like doing. But they were saved. They still are. But they said, and you try to go to them and encourage them. And they said, don't bother. Don't bother. That's as far as I want to go. I'm satisfied the way I am. I'm satisfied. I'm going to heaven, so what else is there? What else is there? Don't bother me. Please do not bother me. That's what they would say. Try to be polite about it. They don't want to grow anymore. They don't. They said, I've been to church enough times. Turn it around this way. How old are you? Think about it. How many meals have you had? Well, a lot of meals since you've been born. Well, I've had enough. I'll just stop eating. How's that going to work out? Drinking water. I've drank water for over 20 years. That's a lot of water. You know what? I'm fed up with that. I don't want any more water. That's enough. Got another one for you. I've been breathing every day. I'm tired of it. How's that going to work out for you? It's not. We've got to continue to believe day by day, moment by moment with the Lord. Continue to grow, to grow. He has so much more for us, so much more. But the do not believe, do not bother believer is saying, ah, that's enough for me. And they miss out on so much. They miss out. I'm not saying that the do not believe, do not bother believer is not saved. I'm just saying that they're not healthy. Not healthy at all. Not healthy. Turn to Galatians 5. You know, it's hard to tell at times between the do not bother believer and the bumper sticker believer. Very hard to tell the difference. Very hard to tell the difference. Galatians 5, verse 7. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? The do not bother believer. You started off running with the Lord, growing, excited. What happened? Who turned you away? What turned you away? Your old nature got the better of you? You let that happen. That's your fault. That's on you. Turn to 1 Corinthians 9. First Corinthians 9, verse 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. God wants us to run, run the race. He didn't say run, stop, walk, sit down. That's far enough. You don't have to go any further. He said run, run, run it. It's not how we see ourselves, it's how God sees us. When he looks at the believer, he sees Christ. Christ in me. That's who we are to identify with. We're in Christ. Christ is in me. That's awesome. That's awesome. God holds us accountable for what we do with his name. If you say you're a believer, then be a believer. Be one. If you are a bumper sticker believer, I mean Christian, can't say believer, bumper sticker Christian, do not bother believer, and you're not doing or growing as the Lord told you or showed you to do, you're accountable. Even the Bible-believing believer is accountable. All of us are accountable for what we hear, what we do, and what we don't do. God is gracious to us. He encourages us to run the race. He wants us to run the race. He wants to do that work in us, individually and collectively. Turn to John 15. In verse 5, John 15, 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. How many times have we heard this? How many times does God tell us this? Over and over again he tells us. You know why? Because we're prone to wander. We're prone. We still have that old nature. We times we think, oh, we've done it this many times without the Lord, we can do it again. All of us are guilty of that. But God tells us over and over again, he doesn't want us to forget that. And once we hear it, act upon it. Don't just let it go in one ear and out the other. I thought I was due for a physical exam, and so I thought about asking the Lord to give me a spiritual examination to see if I was a healthy believer. But don't think I did this once a year. I don't do that once a year. I constantly do that when I open God's word and he speaks to my heart. I let him do what needs to be done, convict me and show me what needs to be done. Don't wait for a year like the physical exam. So I wanted the Lord to show me if I was a healthy believer. All of us are prone to wander. Don't think that you have been saved, I don't know how many years, that you will not wander. You will. You will. You can wander. Wander, not wonder. Well, you wonder. The Lord's wonder is God. But I'm talking about wander. We're prone to wander because of our sin nature. That sin nature can play tricks on us, can do a number on us, in times you won't even know, unless we stay close to the Lord, continue to grow in him. Let him do that work that only he can do. You know, we think we're so smart, we can handle certain things. Nobody can trick us. We can't be fooled. Oh, there are forces out there that will try to persuade you, the world, the satanic world, the world system, pressure, peer pressure, will try to influence you to go the other way. Subtly. That's why we have to stay close, continue to learn, to grow in him. Turn to 1 John 2. First John 2, verses 12 through 14. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because ye have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. All those who are saved, who know the Lord Jesus Christ, are at different stages of growth. Different stages of growth. We should continue to grow. And reading these verses, it says you. Well, if you don't know who you is, when you go home, go in front of a mirror, make sure no one is standing behind you or in front of you, and look, there's your answer. That's you. God's talking to you. Different stages of growth. No matter what stage you're in or I'm in, God wants us to grow, to flourish. He's doing the work if we allow him to. He wants to do that work, and it's a good work. We should realize and understand that the local assembly is the very center of God's work today. The Lord Jesus personally ministers there. It is also the place for purposeful growth and development. His local assembly is very important. This is his local assembly, not ours, not pastors, not the boards. It's his. Ephesians 4. Verses 11 through 16. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, to perfect us, to get us growing, mature, edifying, strengthening us, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, a complete man, until we come to be with the Lord personally, face to face. Then we're perfect. Unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Grow so that we may know. Don't be tricked. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, for whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. God wants to knit us together, to grow together. It's his body. He wants to shape us and form us to what he wants us to be. Every believer is important, no matter your age or your stage. You are important. Don't think that you are insignificant. Look at your physical body. You have a little toe. That's a little toe. Stub it and try to walk. Your whole body knows. Your whole body knows. Your eyes, that's going around. Small, but your whole body knows. Little things like that. Your little finger on your hand, if it's hurting or it's missing, your body knows. Little things. Your body is so important. Every part of your body. More so, every part of God's body is important. God's going to put us where he wants us to be. Not where you want to be, where I want to be, where he wants us to be. It's his body. The local church is here to display the invisible God, and this requires teamwork, working together. Every single member of the body is important. It must be healthy and well-fed. When the members are healthy, the body will be healthy. When the body is healthy, the life of Christ will be manifested and God will be glorified. In order to stay healthy and to grow, one must be in regular attendance at the Sunday services, prayer meeting services, special meetings, whenever possible, not whenever convenient. Turn to Hebrews 10. Verses 23 to 25. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promised. God is faithful and promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Look at the world we're living in, the times we're living in. We should be exhorting each other, encouraging each other, staying close to the Lord. Lord's coming back soon. Soon. Are you ready? I'm ready. I've been ready. I'm going to read something to you. And I'm going to want you to think about this. It's on faithfulness. All I ask is that we apply the same standards of faithfulness to our church activities. Now I'm going to change church activities to our walk with the Lord. That we expect in other areas of life. If your car starts one or three times, do you consider it faithful? If the pharmacist fills 7 out of 8 prescriptions correctly, would you mind if you got one wrong? If you fail to come to work 2 or 3 times a month, does your boss call you faithful? If your refrigerator quits for a day now and then, do you excuse it and say, oh, well, it works most of the time? If you miss a couple of mortgage payments a year, does the loan company say, oh, well, 10 out of 12 is not bad? If Amazon failed to deliver 1 package out of 12, would you consider their service to be dependable? If we expect faithfulness from other people and things, does not the Lord expect the same, if not more, from us? Think about it. We look at other places, they're not faithful. What does the Lord expect of us to be faithful? Are we faithful? Am I faithful? Turn to Matthew 5. In verse 16, Matthew 5:16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Let your light shine. God put a light in us. Let it shine. This little light of mine, Steve would have us singing it at times. This little light of mine, let it shine. The lights that we see up here, they're not saying a word. They're just shining. What about us? Suppose you had a light that flickers off and on, off and on. Something's wrong, you would change it. Suppose our testimony's like that. We have some, ask the Lord to help us with that. A bumper sticker Christian or a do not bother believer doesn't have a light to shine. Well, I'll take that back. The do not bother believer does have a light, but it's flickering. So something has to be done. They got to get right. I'm going to read something else to you. Called the Gospel According to You. The Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are read by more than a few. But the one that is most read and commented on is the Gospel According to You. You are writing a gospel, a chapter each day, by the things that you do and the words that you say. Men read what you write, whether faithless or true. Say, what is the gospel according to you? Do men read his truth and his love in your life? Or has yours been too full of malice and strife? Does your life speak of evil, or does it ring true? Say, what is the gospel according to you? That applies to each and every one of us who know the Lord. To those who are bumper sticker Christians, you have nothing but a profession, but no possession. Empty. When Christ entered Jerusalem, the crowds hailed him with loudest hosannas. Yet that very week they cried out, "Crucify him!" One is reminded of the inscription on a tombstone in Germany, "Thus speaketh Christ our Lord to us. You call me master and obey me not. You call me light and see me not. You call me way and walk me not. You call me wise and follow me not. You call me fair and love me not. You call me rich and ask me not. You call me eternal and seek me not. You call me noble and serve me not. You call me mighty and honor me not. You call me just and fear me not. If I condemn you, blame me not." That's for the bumper sticker Christian. Turn to Luke 6. In verse 46, and this applies to all of us. Verse 46, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" That's very convicting. We hear a message, we read God's word, God tells us to do certain things. We don't do it. We hear it from the pulpit. We don't do it. Oh, we decide we will do it when we feel like doing it. What does God just say about that? Wow. That's very convicting to me. I don't know about you, but to me it's convicting. Actions speak louder than words. I'd rather see a sermon than to hear one day. I'd rather one should walk with me than merely show the way. The life's a better pupil and more willing than the ear. Fine counsel is confusing, but example's always clear. The best of all the teachers are the men who live their creeds, for to see good put in action is what everybody needs. I soon can learn to do it if you let me see it done. I can see your hands in action, but your tongue too fast may run. And the lecture you deliver may be very fine and true, but I'd rather get my lessons by observing what you do. For I may not understand you and the high advice you give, but there's no misunderstanding how you act and how you live. Very convicting. God wants us to be. You're a believer? Be a believer. The policeman, fireman, be one. The military, be one. The doctors, nurses, be one. God's called us to be a child of God. The moment we did business on Calvary's cross, he expects us to be a believing believer. Believing. Some people just satisfied with just saying, "I'm a believer. I'm going to heaven." There's much more, much more, much more that God has for us. We can't imagine. Can't imagine. But we're thankful for it. What should we do for the Bible, for the bumper sticker Christian, the do not bother believer, and the healthy believer? What should we do? Well, we should be a healthy Bible believer. Be a testimony. Be a testimony for them. That we may glorify the Lord. And pray for those people also. Turn to Colossians 1. Colossians 1, verses 26 to 28. Even the mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. God wants us to be perfect in his Son, Christ Jesus. That's why attendance is important. God's dealing with each and every one of us right now, right where we're at, the stage of growth. God is dealing with us, if we let him. Some people come, sit, go through the motions. Nothing happens. Nothing happens because they didn't want it to happen. God is gracious. He wants to do that work in us. We should encourage one another in the Lord. Times are getting worse. You look at the headlines in the news. People are getting robbed, murdered, protests. You have Hamas, Israel, Iran. All kinds of wars, the most deadliest war, dangerous war, is that sin nature, the believer's sin nature. Can you imagine? We look at the news and we see people being murdered and killed and all kinds of situations, dangerous situations. Oh, we look at it, it's terrible. But the terrible thing is, if they didn't know the Lord, that's a tragedy there. You can't get out of that. Think about it. I have unsaved loved ones. You do too. I want to be a testimony. I want to glorify the Lord. And I share with you my testimony, how I was. You know, and I really appreciate and I love the Lord. I love him. I really do. I do. I owe him. I owe him. I have no business being up here at all. I have no business being saved except by the grace of God. I thank him for it. We can't ignore the word of God. There are going to be consequences. God tells us to do certain things. It's for our good and for his honor. If we ignore it, we're going to suffer the consequences. You can't escape that. Turn to 1 Samuel 30. 1 Samuel 30 and verse 6. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. I encourage myself in the Lord, my God. I encourage myself in him, not in you, nothing personal, not in myself, only him. Only him. What about yourself? What about yourself? Comes down to it, it's you. You and the Lord. What are you doing with the Lord? What are you doing? I'm going to close with this. 1 Peter 3. 1 Peter 3. Verse 15, and all of us can read this. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every way. And that's the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Sanctify the Lord God in your heart, not in your head. This isn't academic, in your heart. Don't be a hardhead, in your heart. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for these moments that we've been able to open your word, open our hearts, and you deal with us in your special way. Lord, again, we owe you. We love you. And we thank you that you're coming back for us. In the meanwhile, you're dealing with us and shaping us, if we allow you to be more like you. So, Lord, we think of the services to follow, rest of the day. Deal with those who will be bringing forth your word and us who are sitting in the pews, that we would not be the same as we are right now, that we would be changed and brought even closer and closer in our knowledge of thee. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.